Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 86. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com.
What's up, Craig?
Hey!
So, big news. As we expected, they announced the Oscar nominations today, and we got to find out how wrong we were in response to our predictions that we put forth on the previous episode of Film Nerds Unlimited. And, you know, for the most part, I think we did pretty well, pretty much category by category. Obviously, the trickiest one is Best Picture, just in terms of not really knowing how many nominations there would be. And so we kind of went out on a limb and threw out what we thought would make it. And I think most of it stuck, and in especially in the major categories. I think Supporting Actor had a couple of little surprises. We both kind of overlapped there a little bit. But overall, what sticks out to you just in terms of any surprises, snubs, things of that nature?
Okay, well, the biggest snub I see is, well, snub, maybe just getting left out. I guess it's a snub. Ridley Scott for The Martian. You know, it's just he's been in the conversation the whole time. The film is in the conversation, in every conversation, it seems like. So it's not that the film itself has trailed off, but it's still there and ever-present as always, but he's not there anymore. So that's kind of a I think every year we get one of these, and it's just kind of like, why? And that's it. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. That's definitely the number one seat when it comes to snubs, because I think honestly it's as big a deal as when Affleck got the snub for director for Argo, which essentially in turn turned Argo into a lock to win Best Picture. I don't think that this will have a similar result. I think we can kind of count The Martian out of the Best Picture race as a result of the Ridley Scott snub, but I just think it's strange, Craig, because it suggests to me that the Academy just isn't fond of Ridley Scott, because going into this, like you said, he was expected to not only get a nomination, be a surefire lock, but to possibly even win the category as sort of a career achievement category, and that's not going to be the case. Who knows if this is his last shot at winning a Best Director Oscar, and perhaps he'll have to settle on maybe an honorary Oscar in the near future, hopefully. But yeah, it's a big surprise to me, and you know, it reminds me of 2000 when his movie Gladiator won Best Picture, and he did not win Best Director, and we had one of those rare splits even back when there were five nominations in the picture category. So it's a little strange, but yeah, that's definitely number one. Anything else?
No, it helps to ease the pain of the Ridley Scott snub for me when I see that Lenny Abrahamson's The Room. It's Room. It's just Room, for goodness sake. Yeah, that's in. And I kind of did a big fist pump with that, just because I think that's a great film, and I like it when there's some chaos. I like it when I see that the Academy's thinking outside the box, even though it comes at the expense of snubbing an obvious, you know, what should have been an obvious choice. Adam McKay was my first out. And I didn't think that Ridley Scott would have a chance of getting left out. And he did, though. So, whatever.
Yeah, and it's obvious, like you said, that Lenny Abrahamson was the factor here in snubbing Scott, someone who wasn't even nominated in the DGA precursor there. And, yeah, it's a big surprise for me. I think the second biggest snub, at least personally, not one that I'm as surprised about, I'm just disappointed, and I know you are, because we talked about this, that Inside Out was left out of the Best Picture category. And that's a shame to me, especially considering there are only 8 nominations. There should probably be more. In the past, when there have been 10 nominations, movies like Up and Toy Story 3 have broken the mold and been nominated for Best Picture. And Inside Out is as good, if not better, than those movies. And again, going back to the summertime when this was initially released and people responded to it so overwhelmingly, I thought that this could be the Pixar movie and the animated movie that could win Best Picture, if anything could. And I thought that the studio would get behind it in a way that they hadn't in the past, but they didn't. And I think too many months had passed and the momentum was gone, and too many other movies just reared their heads and became much more major contenders than it moving forward. So it's going to have to settle for winning the Best Animated Feature category and perhaps something else. I doubt it, because we know that Spotlight will probably win Original Screenplay, but that's just a personal disappointment.
Yeah, you know, and this may have absolutely nothing to do with that snub, but The Good Dinosaur didn't even get nominated for animation, and that was a surefire pick for me. Do you think having two films in 1 year, the more critically received being the earlier one, do you think coming out with a second one that evidently didn't get as big a response as Inside Out, do you think that hurt its chances at all?
The Good Dinosaurs or Inside Out?
The Inside Out. Having The Good Dinosaur come out later, The Good Dinosaur not even get nominated for animation.
You know, maybe it devalued Inside Out as a Pixar movie, and that we were a little overspoiled in terms of getting, you know, two per year, I think, for the first time ever. And you know, it's what's disappointing, though, if that was the logic, then, I mean, look at 20th Century Fox and how many movies it releases and how many movies are part of this discussion now for what could or should win Best Picture. You've got The Revenant. You've got, obviously, The Martian. I mean, Steve Jobs is a movie. I'm sorry, Steve Jobs is Universal, I think. But you've got a few different movies from one studio there that are part of this larger conversation. I don't understand why that might exclude Inside Out, but perhaps it did. I am glad to see that the short film that preceded The Good Dinosaur, Sanjay's Super Team, got a Best Animated Short nomination, and I'd love to see the other four nominees, but I can tell you right now, that one's great, and it deserves to be seen, and I hope that this kind of exposure, outside of the initial Pixar and Disney exposure that it got when it was released, I hope more eyes get put on this movie, because it's fantastic.
Well, you know, I did pretty well in the acting categories, except for supporting. I missed a couple in supporting, and I got to tell you, for what it's worth nothing. But for what it's worth, I right before I changed to my final picks, I had that supporting category exactly as it was announced. But you know, that's the fun. That's what makes this whole process so fun, is that, you know, you're kicking yourself the next day because you missed something that you had at one point. But I'm really glad Tom Hardy made it. I think it's well deserved. In fact, I'm going to wait till I see these all of them before I really say this, but I really think he may deserve to win that, although I haven't seen Stallone yet. So
yeah, I think the supporting acting categories are really telling in terms of perhaps some of the other categories and how they may shape out and what kind of chances movies like Spotlight and The Revenant has moving forward. I thought it was interesting that Rachel McAdams got a nomination and Mark Ruffalo. I think that really bodes well for Spotlight in terms of the Best Picture race, that people thought finally enough of it to nominate those, and people thought that those could be performances that got left out in a, you know, fairly competitive field for each of those. I thought, you know, I had made sort of at the last minute the pick prediction that Jacob Tremblay would get nominated based on the instinct that I had that Room would get nominated for picture, not director, I didn't call that, but screenplay and actress, obviously, and I thought if it's going to get nominated for all those, it may as well get nominated for supporting actor. And then they tossed in director, too, so I thought for sure Tremblay's going to get it, but he didn't. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but I don't know, maybe he made way for some other good performances.
It's something I want to check into, because I don't know. I may be wrong. I need to look back in history. But I'm wondering if the Academy just will not nominate a young person if the category is presumably overstuffed. They've nominated young people before, and I need to go back and see how crowded that category was. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you've also got Del Toro, Michael Keaton, Idris Elba, you know, what I'm wondering is, does a young actor have zero shot if there's like seven other adults that have a legitimate claim to be in there too? I don't know. I thought he was great, but I'm just kind of wondering how that has played out in the past.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's obviously multiple precedents, and Anna Paquin obviously winning an Oscar as a child, Tatum O'Neill winning, Clavin Janae Wallace recently getting nominated, Keisha Castle Hughes getting nominated for Whale Rider a few years ago. So, you know, they do nominate children, Abigail Breslin for Little Miss Sunshine. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for it to happen. It happens quite often, you know, relatively. So, yeah, maybe that was a factor. And Benicio is definitely another unfortunate snub. I mean, again, we're talking about a crowded field here, but he gave one of the best performances, let alone supporting performances of the year. So that was a little bit disappointing. Anything else, Craig? Like, I want to talk a little bit about some of my favorite categories in a minute, but something that we should probably touch on since we're talking about snubs, this whole hashtag Oscars so white thing that's happening. Diversity, a lack of diversity in especially the acting categories has been an issue that has been raised among many, especially in the age of social media since the Oscars, you know, especially over the past couple of years. Obviously last year, Selma not showing up in a lot of categories disappointed a lot of people justly. And in this year, aside from Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, it's pretty white out there, and people are upset. And obviously we've mentioned Beasts of No Nation getting shut out, and people thought that Idris Elba was going to get nominated for sure. You've got obviously Straight Outta Compton that got a screenplay nomination. Creed only got a supporting actor nomination, and people might point to those nominations and say, no, look, those movies got nominations. But people have also raised the good point that the people who get nominated for those movies are white people, in Sylvester Stallone and the screenwriters behind Straight Outta Compton. So the lack of diversity is a good point that people have raised, because there were deserving movies.
And I think I completely agree. And I like to take that lack of diversity claim to a deeper level, in that is there opportunities for the minority crowd to, are there roles for them? Are there, you know, opportunities for them to succeed or excel in this business, you know? And it's not like, well, there's not enough, so that's why there's not as many nominations. I don't find that as a good excuse. There needs to be more opportunities for minorities to be able to take a lead, or as a director or an actor, more parts written for them, or just more opportunities to get the job. You know what I mean?
Yep, I agree. I think that there's a lack of opportunities for sure, and it's no fair just to point out the handful of examples of performances that were worthy when, you know, you look on the other side of it and there are just countless roles for white men and women, and opportunities for white men and women. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. But, you know, that being said, if you just look at the movies that exist in 2015 and the performances and the work done by, you know, filmmakers like Ryan Coogler and obviously last year Ava DuVernay, who wasn't recognized for her directorial efforts, I mean, these are people who deserve the recognition. And for whatever reason, the Academy voters just aren't going for it. And, you know, perhaps because the field is so large, math just, you know, at times is another disadvantage in terms of there being such a crowded field, and they're just going to go ahead and pick the non-minority candidates to honor, which, you know, is maybe a stroke of bad luck, and there may be a little something else to it. Who knows? I'm not, you know, trying to point that out or raise any sort of accusation in that light, but hopefully we see it trend in another direction, especially when there are movies that are so deserving.
Yeah, I don't know if the more opportunities will help this or make it worse. I'm kind of scared to speculate on that. But, you know, if it's a more even playing field simply because of the opportunities given, and it's still so widely white, as the hashtag says, then we definitely have a big problem. But that's conjecture at this point.
Definitely. So in terms of favorite categories, you know, for starters, I think Best Picture is solid. You know, I don't think out of the eight movies there, I just don't think there's a bad movie in the lot. I think they're all really good, and all worth seeing. I think that the front runners, you have to consider The Revenant a front runner at this point. You have to consider Spotlight still a front runner, and The Big Short obviously had a nice showing today with Adam McKay getting a Best Director nomination, getting a Best Picture nomination. So those are definitely ones to keep an eye on right now, Craig. If I'm a betting man, I think that The Revenant, it getting 12 nominations and it having such a strong showing at the Golden Globes and Tom Hardy scoring a nomination and it just showing up in so many categories, The Revenant to me seems to have the momentum right now, but we'll see moving forward. Do you see anything else sort of rearing its head and you know, moving side by side with The Revenant as a possible surefire winner?
No, not really. I mean, the only thing that makes me hesitate is that there have been movies in the past with an astronomical number of nominations that completely swing and miss. I think Babel had a decent number of nominations and won for only like score or something. But Avatar won a good amount of technical awards, but kind of whiffed at the ones that really matter, quote unquote. They all matter, but talking about Best Picture and Director and what have you, because I have to mention James Cameron didn't win Best Director. But anyways, I think as you mentioned, the inclusion of Tom Hardy and all these other nominations that The Revenant is included on, that to me just screams how much support that it has amongst the Academy members. And so while at the same time, I kind of balk at the idea that it would be really hard if it won 2 years in a row, especially picture and director. He won director last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing that makes me balk. You can't help but see that many people are behind this movie. And I think maybe Spotlight is the only other movie that has as good a shot, but it's not represented as well, which doesn't really matter when you get right down to it. It's got a couple of acting nominations and writing, which definitely matter. And I see that it's in film editing as well. So that's all you really need, I think, to win Best Picture. But The Revenant's on a tear, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. And there could be a narrative that people work up and they could use the whole, do we really want to give him Best Director 2 years in a row thing into the mix? And that could cost him perhaps deserved Best Director Oscar following his win for Birdman. And that would be unfortunate. But I think Birdman's a great example of how he is really – he's a gifted campaigner. And he was able to charm voters and sway them. And he really did his part in convincing people that Birdman was – the best film of that group of 2014. So I have faith that he could probably get that done again, but I think that there are a few contenders here. So I think it's definitely a race, an exciting race to keep an eye on. So another thing, Craig, like one of my favorite categories here is we've talked a lot about cinematography. Cinematography is, you know, one of our favorite categories in general, but man, I just think, you know, again, I haven't seen Carol. I've seen bits and pieces, but I do know that it certainly looks good, but I've seen the other four movies, and my Lord, there's just not a bad-looking movie in the bunch. They really nailed it, and I hate that Janusz Kaminski didn't get a nomination for Bridge of Spies, but, you know, in a way, we kind of figured that it or The Hateful Eight would wind up in there, but, man, that's a jam-packed category.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it seems like Kaminski might have just taken a more subtle approach to what he was to Bridge of Spies, and doesn't make it any less great of a cinematography job. But all this talk around the 16mm and what have you, and I haven't seen it either. It's kind of hard to find around here. But it looks like a beautiful film, just by the 16mm alone. But I'm wondering if there's any other technique used that really kind of helps it to stand out. The Revenant, Mad Max, Sicario, that's cool that they included Sicario. To me, it was a no-brainer, but that's definitely a great film cinematography-wise.
So let's try to call the major categories right now, Craig. Like if Oscars happened today, now that we know what the nominees are, what do we think are going to win in picture, director, and the acting categories?
Oh, if it happened today, and so we'll have to do this throughout the next month to see how they change. But if it happened today, I think it's down to Spotlight and The Revenant for Best Picture. This kind of seems like a Brokeback Mountain crash kind of year, in that The Revenant is the Brokeback in that it's got a lot of momentum. But I could see Spotlight as the crash kind of silently winning. And you might see a director split.
Yeah, I think if I'm predicting a winner today, I think I would go with The Revenant with Best Picture, just because everybody's talking about it right now. Spotlight's momentum, I wouldn't say Spotlight's momentum has dwindled, because it got its fair share of nominations, especially in crucial categories. So I think it's definitely hovering there, maybe in second place right now, and could jump to number one. But right now, I would pick The Revenant and Inarritu to win Picture and Director. For Actor, I think at this point, it may just be a foregone conclusion. It might be Leo's year.
Yeah, I think it's well deserved. If any of his performances, any of those that he did not get nominated for or win for, this one I'm okay with if he wins for this, because this one is a no-brainer, it seems like to me. I don't know what their problem is with Leo, if they have one, or maybe it's just been bad timing with his other roles. But this has got to be his year.
Yeah, maybe it is bad timing, because, I mean, if they've got a problem with him, then why would they have nominated him 5 times by now?
Right,
you know?
Yeah. This is the number of nominations.
Torture the guy?
Right. Sometimes that can be better revenge than not nominating him at all. So,
yeah,
no,
true. So,
yeah.
with Best Actress, I mean, I think we both probably think that Brie Larson's going to win, but I don't know. I mean, Brooklyn gets the Best Picture nomination and lands in some solid categories. I mean, I know it got screenplay, it got Best Picture, got some of the tech categories, and Best Actress too. So I think it may be a little closer than some people think. Although if I were betting today, I'd still go Larson.
Yeah, I personally, Larson is my favorite of the year. And unfortunately, I haven't seen Brooklyn yet, so it's really hard to comment on that. But just from a momentum-wise, a buzz-wise, Brooklyn definitely has exhibited its presence today in the race.
Yeah, for sure. And the supporting categories, supporting actors seems tough. You know, you said Tom Hardy could win, and I didn't think he would be nominated in the first place, and perhaps now that he has been nominated and The Revenant has as much momentum as it has, it's definitely possible. I just think the fact that Sly Stallone was able to get nominated today, which I know is a question on the minds of many, it's like, yeah, he won the Golden Globe, but we raised the point yesterday, he didn't get the SAG nomination, and that could spell trouble for him. But I think now that he has the nomination, storyline, the narrative is just so strong for him right now, despite his Golden Globe speech where he didn't thank Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler. I think Sly would probably win.
Yeah, and in the room where they announced the nominations,
I thought you were talking about the movie The Room.
Oh, the movie The Room. I love The Room. In the room where they announced the nominations this morning, Stallone's name being called generated by far the biggest positive reaction.
Crazy. So
yeah,
that leaves supporting actress, which I think is the toughest call of these major awards. And Kate Winslet, she gets nominated after winning the Golden Globe. And again, SAG will tell us more. I guess right now, I mean, I would probably go with Kate Winslet, but I really honestly think it could be any of the five.
Right. Yeah. I think this may be the most up in the air category there is. Maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, I heard what's interesting is, I thought that Alicia Vikander was going to get nominated, but for Ex Machina, which, showed up in visual effects and showed up in screenplay, so it kind of surprises me that she didn't get the acting nomination for it when it showed up in other places. But obviously Danish Girl got recognized in other categories, including Best Actor, Costume Design, et cetera, so maybe it's not such a huge surprise. But yeah, Rachel McAdams is a nice surprise to show up in the category. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I guess I'm just judging by the last thing that happened, and even though it's not as indicative as one might think, I just think I'm going to stick with Kate Winslet for now.
Yeah, same here. And I think they might have nominated Vikander for The Danish Girl because she was too robotic in Ex Machina. I don't know.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.